And let us pray before I address you on the topic of this gospel. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be now and always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. This sentence is uttered twice, word for word, in this account. The first time these words are said is by Martha, and the second time by Mary, both of them sisters of Lazarus, and their brother had died recently. And each time these words are uttered, they elicit a different response from Jesus, and these responses cast a light onto Jesus as fully human and as fully God. But of more immediate interest, perhaps, this episode and those words are for us an instance of a prayer request made and of God's response. I think we could see in this account a parallel to prayer, especially to intercessory prayer. That is, when we place before God a particular situation, a particular person. Because Mary and Martha did this. They sent word to God, who in Jesus was not far away. They sent the message, Lord, he whom you love is ill. They didn't say that they wanted their brother to be healed, though that is surely the implication. They wanted Jesus to know, because firstly, Jesus, we're told, loved Lazarus in particular. And they wanted Jesus to know, secondly, because it would surely be no trouble as Jesus was not far away. They perhaps expected that Jesus would immediately travel to them and would heal Lazarus, who, after all, Jesus loved. We sometimes, in our prayers of intercession, go beyond placing before God the particular situation or person. In our prayers, we also advise God of the outcome we hope for, either directly, Lord, please heal this person, or, as with Martha, by implication, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. God knows. It doesn't matter if we do put in front of him our thought of the possible outcome. But this passage gives us an instance of God in action, as it were. We see God receiving a prayer and responding to it. Firstly, the prayer was sent. Lord, he whom you love is ill. We know that the prayer was received. Jesus received it. Immediately, Jesus responded, but he did not respond in the way that Martha and Mary had probably expected. Verse 4 says, but when Jesus heard it, he said, this illness does not lead to death. It is for the glory of God, so that the Son of God may be glorified through it. Doesn't this sound like Jesus was a bit detached? Does this sound as if he was concerned only for his own glory? It may sound it, but no, because we are then immediately told that Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. But despite this love, it seems there was a further delay. We are told in verse 6 Jesus loved them, so he stayed 2 more days. It's very odd. Would you not expect to read that Jesus loved him and therefore he left immediately? This seems to be infuriating. The prayer is sent, and then from the point of view of the sender, there is no response. Does God hear? Does God care? Well, seeing this behind-the-scenes account, we know that God does hear. We know that God does care, because then follows a decision to reply, which, by the way, the disciples do not understand. Jesus travelled the short distance to Bethany. Martha heard that he was coming, and she went to meet him, but Mary remained in the house. And in the exchange that Martha has with Jesus, we can see how, in this time of desolation, she grows in faith and understanding. She starts by recognizing that Jesus is someone special, that Jesus is a charismatic healer. In verse 21, she shows confidence that if Jesus had been there, her brother would not have died. And as the interaction with Jesus continued, she then went on to recognize Jesus as more than a charismatic healer. Because in verse 22, she said, I know God will give you whatever you ask. But she still believed that this was all in the future. not touching her present situation. In verse 24, Martha says, "I know that my brother will rise on the last day." And then she moved from knowing intellectually to believing. In response to Jesus' declaration, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he dies, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die." Jesus then asked her directly, "Do you believe this?" In response to this revelation of Jesus as Saviour, Martha believed. She said, "Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is coming into the world." But notice that Jesus had offered little or nothing in the way of human compassion. This had all been about faith, about eternal life. This is Jesus, fully God, but seeming to be perhaps somewhat distant. And yet, despite this, even in her grief, Martha recognized and relied on the love and power of God. And Martha then acted in her grief as a witness to this faith. She had been comforted by this. Like the Samaritan woman at the well, she went off to tell others, and the first person she told was her sister Mary. As soon as Mary heard the news, she rose quickly and went out and fell at Jesus' feet, saying to him, as her sister had said, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." And we are told that she was weeping as she sat at Jesus' feet. And Jesus, we're told, was deeply moved in his spirit and was greatly troubled. And the word "deeply moved" means more like enraged or furious. In the face of death, Jesus faced directly that which he had come to defeat. He had come to defeat sin and death and Satan. But not only was Jesus enraged at this view of his enemy, he was troubled. And this word in the Greek, troubled, is the same word that Jesus used later to his disciples when he said to them, "Let not your hearts be troubled, neither be afraid." At that moment, Jesus was troubled in the way that he wanted his disciples not to be. Jesus recognized the extent of the human distress in front of him, and Jesus wept. And the word "wept" in this case is not like the quiet, continuous weeping of the others. The word implies that Jesus burst into tears. And what more human response could one hope for from Almighty God? And so as we look at this encounter between Jesus and Martha and Mary, I find this glimpse behind the scenes of a prayer request asked and answered, I find this to be of enormous comfort, because none of us are immune to the feeling every now and then that our prayers are pointless, that our prayers just go up and are so much hot air. Prayer, it seems sometimes, is just a weak and frail thing for us to do in times of need and for people in need. And yet it is at times like this, when we are all isolated from each other, all for the general good, that we can rely on prayer and recognize that prayer is not pointless. It is not just hot air, nor is prayer weak or frail. Prayer is a mighty weapon for good, because God hears, God loves, and God acts. Amen.